So good evening, everyone, to the Magnolia Public Schools regular Board of Directors meetings. My name is Jennifer Lara. I'm the Executive Assistant and Board Secretary here at Magnolia Public Schools. I wish everybody has had a great day so far and are staying warm. Before we begin, a couple of brief reminders. First, this meeting is being recorded. Second, if you're a member of the public and you wish to give a public comment during the public comment section of this meeting, you're more than welcome to state your name. If it is something that you feel uncomfortable in doing so, you do not have to state your name. But as a reminder to our staff present, please state your name and your role before presenting yourself to the public and to the board. And for our board members, if you may please state your name before giving your comments or your questions. And with that, we'll officially begin today's regular board meeting. Today is Thursday, January 19th, 2023. The time is 5:34 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, or 5:35 p.m. now. Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please call the meeting to order.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being here. I would like to call our meeting, our regular board meeting to order.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. With that, I'll record attendance. Mr. Mohamedov. Ms. Covarrubias?
Here.
Thank you, Dr. Yalpano. Dr. Dikpesh?
Here.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez?
Here.
Thank you, Mr. Sheehan? Mrs. Aldo?
Here.
Thank you. Thank you to our board members. Now that we've established quorum, we'll move on with the approval of agenda. The motion is to approve the agenda as presented. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Dikpesh?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Aldo.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The agenda has been approved as presented. Next, we'll move on to public comments. As a reminder, you're given 3 minutes to state your comments, 6 minutes if translation is needed. If you're a member of the public and you would like to make a public comment, you may unmute yourself now.
Hi, Jennifer. Can I make a public comment?
Go ahead.
Good evening, board members and public. This is Gökhan Sürs, Principal and Regional Director at MSA San Diego. I just wanted to share a couple highlights since the last board meeting that we were together. So just before the winter break, we had a couple of great things happen. One of them was a Qualcomm Museum field trip. It was a private tour by our Qualcomm engineer parents, given to our Saturday school students, from robotics students to students who receive academic support. And it was a great opportunity for them to learn more about high-tech companies. And also they left the tour, that field trip, with a lot of inspiration. So we are really happy and thankful for our parents. The second one is we had a food drive, a whole day food drive, and our Magnolia Wizards community donated a total of 1,051 pounds of food. That's enough for 800 meals for families who were in need. And we partnered with Feeding San Diego for that. And on the last day of winter break, we had our celebration of science event where students shared their demonstrations and projects with our community, with our school community, with the other students and teachers. And we were able to see their creative side of it. And also, so how great the students actually interpreted the different aspects of science. And finally, I want to share a great news with actually an update too. We had our third open house. We remodeled, in a sense, our open houses with school tours and social time. It's two-hour open houses. We had the third one, and around 40 families attended in each. And this year, so far, we had more than 50%. Applications for our sixth grade group, and we will be hosting a public lottery for our sixth grade students on February 3rd. Thank you and have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thank you, Mr. Sears, for your comment. Is anyone else from the public that would like to make a comment? If there are no further public comments, thank you for that. So with that, we'll move forward with the announcements from the CEO and superintendent and board members. I'll turn it over to Ms. Rubalcaba.
Thank you, Jennifer. Hello, dear board members, staff, community. Thank you, GOCOM, for that update. I know a lot of the great things are happening at our schools before and now after as we kind of start the second semester, and as GOCON and his team got started first. They started school January 3rd, so they're kind of on their third week. The rest of our schools got started the 10th, and I know they're working on many different things, but just for the board to understand kind of a high level some of the things we're focusing on, and our principals will be able to provide more highlights next month. And then when we jump into person in March, then we're going to bring forward more presentations on how our schools are doing. But some of the things that have been a focus as schools have come back and before schools come back are on dashboard data that came out right before the break on how we're doing in all our different metrics. That are reflected in the SARC. So the schools have been working very hard to look at that data, dissect the data, and that's been able to inform their instruction, enrichment, interventions. So as a board, you will hear more of those data points through the academic committee, through our board retreat, and as we prepare for the state assessments. And we're very excited with the things we're seeing from the school sites in preparation for these assessments this year. Another thing that you're seeing a lot of is, preparation for not only the second semester with events and recognitions, as GOCON mentioned, but also looking at our budgets for next year. And Steve, today we'll talk about our 21-22 audit. But as all of you know, the governor did come out with his proposal on January 10th for the 23-24 budget. So we as an organization are starting to look at that information and learning what the details are so we could work very closely with our school sites to ensure that we have all the resources necessary, not only for this year, but for next year as we prepare to open up our school. So more information will be coming forth, working with the school sites, to the board, the finance committee, and our specifically through a study session to see what next year looks like. So I just wanted to share those two high level items. And then another item that the board should be aware of is we unfortunately did have, a tragic accident at one of our sites in the major street there on First Street, our MSA Santa Ana campus, when we did open school up this week after the MLK break. Unfortunately, there was an accident at 5:55 in the morning. And the schools did an amazing job working with the home office to ensure that all communication was given to parents, but that whole street was blocked off and we were not given access or the access we needed to have a school day, because of the accident. But again, none of our students were impacted. None of our staff were impacted in the sense of, did this happen to one of them or things like that, but it did impact community member. And we did have to, again, close the day. The good thing from the perspective of bringing an item to the board, because we did lose instructional minutes, we did lose a day, all of our school sites prepare for these emergencies. So in case we don't have to have school, they do have enough instructional minutes. So in the case of Santa Ana, there are enough instructional minutes for their high school program. and elementary, where they don't have to make up the day. So that's a good thing. So that's why we're not bringing an item to you. And I'm just informing you in terms of how we make that block safe, you know, that big street. And obviously we're going to be working with Stephen and Maria to ensure that we're pushing the different community members there, elected officials, to create more, you know, safety around our school with crosswalks or other mechanisms to ensure safety. So I just wanted to give the board an update on that piece. And again, next month, we'll provide more highlights for the schools. And as we have committees, give the board more updates on academic results and preparations. With that, I'll turn it back over to Jen.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba, for these updates. I'll turn it over to any board members if you have any comments or announcements.
I just had a comment. This is Covarrubias. Thank you, Alfredo, for the updates. And then Mr. Sears, congrats on all the amazing updates, and especially the 50% increase on applications. Thank you for that information.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Any further announcements or comments from our board? Perfect. With that, we'll move on next with the approval of minutes from the MPS regular board meeting on December 8th, 2022. Would a board member like to move in approving these minutes?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second. Big push.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Oldham?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The minutes for December 8th, 2022 has been approved. Now we'll be moving on to consent items. As a reminder, for these consent items, we're going to keep it 3 minutes max just to update the board of what these consent items are. So we'll be moving on to 2A, approval of updated MPS health and safety policy and injury and illness prevention program, IIPP COVID-19 addendum. This will be presented by Ms. Heshmirzar, Director of Human Resources.
Thank you, Jennifer. Good evening, board members, staff, and community. This is Daria Heshmirzar, the Director of Human Resources. The policy is updated based on the recent guidance as highlighted in yellow and in the attachments, but just a highlight summary is basically this policy constitutes, we have a more definition, a more clear language in the policy, which constitute MPS's COVID testing plan as required by the Education Code section 32096. And then the second update is the governor did not extend the COVID supplemental paid sick leave. And with that, we removed that information from the policy. And this was expired effective December 31st, 2022. The final one is individuals who have recovered from COVID-19 within the last 30 days are not required to test unless, and this guidance was 90 days previously and is changed to 30 days. And the same change update was reflected on the addendum, the IIPP COVID addendum plan. And if there are any questions, I'm here to answer and turn it back over to you, Jennifer. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heshmirzar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Covarrubias. Alfredo, I just wanted to double check on the changes for the 30. Did you guys make it with Daria instead of 300?
Daria, we reviewed it with Ms. Covarrubias, we did identify a couple of typos. So I told her that we would correct them on the 30 days. Instead of 30 days, it had 300 on a couple of.
Okay. Thank you.
We'll correct them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any further comments or questions from our board? No further comments or questions. The motion is for the board to approve the updated MPS health and safety policy alongside the injury illness prevention program IIPP COVID-19 addendum. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Eldem?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Now we'll be moving on to consent item 2B, approval of school accountability report cards for all MPS. This will be presented by Mr. Ilmas, our Chief Accountability Officer.
Good evening, dear board members and other educational partners at the meeting. This is an annual required report by the CDE. Our school sites work on it every year, and we publish it by February 1st on the state's website, as well as on the school websites. It has data and information about the school, which is mostly populated by the CDE, and some of it is populated by our school sites. And we are gonna share it with our educational partners after February 1st. I would like to thank all our school site admin teams and Dr. Pollat, the Director of State and Federal Programs, for overseeing this report. Please let me know if you have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ilmas. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item? If no comments or questions, the motion is for the board to approve the school accountability report cards, SARC, for all Magnolia Public Schools. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Yeah, I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dickbush. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Eldem?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Now we'll be moving on to our action items, starting with 3A, approval of findings to conduct virtual meetings pursuant to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. This will be presented by Mr. Rubalcaba, our CEO and superintendent.
Thank you, Jennifer. Again, Alfredo Rubalcaba, CEO, superintendent, Magnolia Public Schools. So as all of you know, our emergency declaration is about to expire. What does that mean? As of the end of February, starting March, we're going to meet in person again and have some wonderful soup, coffee, and all the great things that we share when we're together. So very excited to start the in-person meetings in March. And seeing all of the people on here in our community come to these events. But for now, until that time, we are still gonna use the flexibilities afforded to us by AB 361, which we've been doing so for such a long time that we forgot what having an in-person meeting looks like. So for today, we're asking the board to adopt the findings to allow us to continue these flexibilities, to continue to have meetings via teleconference. Jen, I will turn it to you to add any other technical contextual elements to this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Rubalcaba. I think you explained that really well. So for now, as Mr. Rubalcaba said, we will continue with AB 361. And resume in-person meetings beginning in March, which includes all board and committee meetings. And we will be discussing with leadership and staff to ensure that when convening in-person, that it is still in a safe manner and to make sure that we have very constructive discussions as well as a great time. So with that, I'll open it up to any questions or comments that the members of the public may have. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Covarrubias. When will we get our calendar regarding like the meetings, regular meetings and committee meetings again?
So the calendar will still stay, but I will be discussing with Mr. Valcava and our leadership for the locations starting in March, and we will present that to the board in February.
And then if, for instance, you guys have a meeting in the office, can some board members attend from like one of our schools?
Yes. So how it was done previously, all schools will remain open, and board members that are that cannot attend like the main meeting place that we're going to hold, as long you can also take it from a different school site if that is closer to you.
Okay, thank you.
Is there any further questions or comments from our board?
Hi, this is Esra. So I have a quick question, actually, since I have never attended any in-person meeting before. So how does it go? Can you describe it a little bit? Like, where is it conducted? How do we follow it? So.
Great question, Ezra. This is Alfredo again, and I'll turn it over to Jen, because Jen came to us during our virtual meeting. So what we try to do is, when we have these in-person board meetings, we, by law, SB 126 requires that we have all of our board meetings in the geographic area where we have the most students. So that means we could only have our board meetings in Los Angeles. And what we do is we try to rotate amongst our schools, and we also include the home office as one of those areas. So that's the first thing. So we make sure we try to rotate amongst the school. Number two is, in terms of the delivery of the materials and the preparation for staff and the board, that stays the same. And then one of the things, as we've been evolving as an organization, is making sure that, you know, the majority of the board members are in person in our meetings versus teleconference or at other sites, which was just mentioned. And that's one of the areas of continued growth that LACO is working with us to continue having meetings where the majority of the board members do come in person. So, for instance, in this case, if the board meeting started at 5:30, it ends at 6:50, then we expect our board members to come to whichever site we select, and, you know, to come with enough time and to get your food, your coffee, things of that nature, settle in. And once you settle in, we have all the technology to also ensure that the school sites, because SB 126 does require our school sites also to open up their campuses and make sure that the board meeting is accessible to parents and community members via teleconference. So we have Rasul from our team work with the IT managers from the school sites, making sure all that technology is there. And then when we do have the meetings in person, again, board members, MPS staff, principals, community members, parents, we go through the same process of, you know, allowing public comment. I think that one thing we started to do as we, you know, as we were evolving and strengthening our systems is we recognized a lot of students and staff. So we brought them before the board meetings. So in essence, it's just a matter of coming in person and engaging with all the wonderful people that make up Magnolia and work day in and day out, and then making sure that you're prepared. So that's it. So as Ms. Covarrubias stated, we'll work on which schools those would be or the home office, but we'll also get feedback from all of you in terms of what would work for all of you with meetings, locations, so on and so forth, as we develop the in-person meeting schedule for this year and next year. Does that answer your question, Ms. Eldham?
Yes, it does. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
Fredo, I have a question too.
Yes, go ahead.
So how would it work? Like, for instance, like in my case that I'm immune compromised, when it comes down to meeting with everybody, I'm not able to wear the mask as long as well. So what would happen? Is there a way we can ask our lawyers in that case how it works? If, let's say, we don't have enough people in person, because I think it has to be at least four people, right?
Yeah, there's still flexibilities afforded in in-person meetings. We still would have the teleconference available. So we definitely would implement some of those flexibilities for any one of our board members or any one of our, you know, community members that couldn't come in person. So that would apply to everyone. So we would make it work.
Okay, I'm just concerned because I know I know Mekong lives in Santa Ana, so he's okay, but Dr. Dick Bunch is all the way in San Diego, Dr. Yapano is far, so that's my only concern, that since you need to have four for sure all the time, you know, I just don't want, I don't know, because I'm...
Yes, we're definitely, and that's one other thing I think that's important, we're definitely going to do a lot of legwork and setting up logistics for those meetings, because it will require us, you know, finding out which board members could come in person and which ones teleconference. It's going to be a lot of great work, but what I'm confident about is now that we've expanded our board with Mr. Sheehan, Ms. Eldham, now we're at seven. So I think we do have some more flexibility, but we'll definitely look into that, you know, meeting by meeting, committee meeting, board meeting. So yeah, that's something we're thinking about. So thank you for bringing it to light again.
Thank you guys. Appreciate all your help.
Yep.
Thank you for your questions. Any last questions or comments from our board?
It's me again, Esra. I'm sorry. So in the case where like a couple of, or maybe one board member attends through like teleconference, do we count in the like quorum or not? Like, because we're not in person.
Great question. Thank you, Ms. Eldham. So yes, if you were teleconference, you would still count in terms of your participation, in terms of the vote. But one of the things, again, we're working with authorizers in the community. You know, it's having the in-person meetings allows the public, our parents, our staff, community members to then engage with you and talk with you. But ultimately, the goal is to get the four out of seven, as opposed to, let's say, we go into a pattern of getting two people to come in person and five via teleconference, then that does become an issue where maybe we're not violating state law, but we are violating the intent and purpose of having in-person meetings and having meaningful engagement with our stakeholders or our educational partners. So that's where we do have to work very closely with all of our board members to ensure that we at least get four people. Does that address your question?
It does. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Sorry, Alfredo. Last question.
No worries.
You know that shield thing that students have around like their desk? The plastic like shield? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there something like that where it's portable so that maybe I, like for me that I have, like I said, immune compromised conditions, maybe use that so that, you know, I can attend more places so that, you know, at least there's more one board member that's for sure going to be in most in-person meetings.
Definitely. One thing we've learned about ourselves and about our community is we're very nimble and we pivot quickly to accommodate our people. And we could definitely do that.
Okay.
Yeah. No issue. Okay.
Thank you.
Any last questions from our board? With no further questions, the motion is for the board to adopt the findings relating to the ability of the MPS board and all MPS committees to conduct meetings through teleconference during the state of emergency in reference to AB 361 Government Code Section 54953. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion, Diane.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Esther.
Thank you, Mrs. Aldam, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Dikbash?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Aldam?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Now we'll move on to action item 3B, approval of design and engineering contract with DLR Group for the Magnolia Science Academy 5 Winnetka Avenue project. This was previously presented at the Audit and Facilities Committee meeting on January 11th, but I'll turn it over to Mr. Ontiveros, our General Counsel and Director of Facility.
Good evening, board members. Members of the community, stakeholders. This is Patrick Contiveros, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So at last week's Audit and Facilities Committee meeting, staff presented a proposal for the board to approve the selection of DLR Group to provide architectural and engineering services for our MSA 5 project at 7111 Winnetka Avenue. Just by way of background, 7111 Winnetka Avenue, we, Magnolia, acquired that property in October of last year. We subsequently received an award from the Charter School Facilities Program for approximately $50 million. So in order to move forward with that project, we issued an RFP for design and engineering services. We received 10 applications in response to that RFP, which we were very pleased with. We received feedback and interest from a lot of very talented, very accomplished design firms. We narrowed the field down to 5, and then we interviewed that 5, I should say a committee, including myself and several other members of the C team. And so we went through that process, we checked references, and when the dust settled, we decided as a group, as a committee, that we thought DLR Group was the best choice for this particular project. So this is what is before you today. We're asking the board to approve the selection of DLR Group for this project, as well as signing a contract for those services. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but as I mentioned, and I think Jen mentioned, the Audit and Facilities Committee did in fact approve this last week. So I will stop there and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Ontiveros. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
This is Covarrubias. Patrick, did anybody from those committees bring any thing that they were worried about? Is anybody here from those committees in the meeting?
Yes. So Alfredo was part of the selection committee. Ali was part of that selection committee. Mustafa.
I'm sorry. Sorry to cut you. I meant the board members from the two committees. Sorry.
Oh no, there weren't any board members on the committee.
No, because you brought this item before.
Yes. Audit and facility. Okay, sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry for my misunderstanding. So Macon was a part of that, and I believe Diane, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Yes. And Daniel, if I'm not mistaken. Yes.
Unfortunately, okay. Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have. This is Alfredo again. I don't think Mr. Sheehan or Mr. Mohamedov is on. But we do have Diane. She's going to be the.
There was any concerns brought up by any of them. That's all. If there's no concerns, it's okay. Ms. Gonzalez doesn't have to say anything. I just wondered if there was concerns. What if we can know if you guys don't mind?
Well, certain things were brought up, but everything was taken under consideration. Patrick did a good job of explaining what our concerns were, and everything went very well. So there were really, by the time we got done with our meeting, all concerns and all questions were answered in regards to interest rates, in regards to how we were going to do payments, in regards to the sale of the land, also the direction of what was being planned. So everything went very well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for that. Any further questions from our board? There are no further questions. The motion is for the board to approve the selection of DLR Group to provide architectural and engineering services for MSA 5's new construction project at 7111 Winnetka Avenue in Winnetka for a total fee of $1,765,500. And further approve that MPS staff be authorized to negotiate and sign a professional services contract for said services in such form as MPS staff may deem appropriate and in the best interests of MPS. Would a board member like to move the motion?
Before we move, can I ask a question? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Dikwesh.
Yeah, I think for us, when we are doing our due diligence, is it only like internally we are essentially interviewing, asking questions, trying to understand, assess the risk, et cetera, plus maybe reaching out to some other charter school and then seeing what they recommend, and also in addition, maybe asking them to provide references? I'm guessing these are should be done. My question is there such a third party like BBB, et cetera, kind of bipartisan, essentially objective third party where they review and then give scores so that we can kind of use, oh, based on these companies and the ranking, here's their score and here's what it is, so that with that we kind of understand we are minimizing the risk and then we are doing a very good due diligence. Is there such a thing or not? That's what I was wondering.
If I may, I'll answer that. This is Patrick Lontiveros again, General Counsel and Director of Facilities. So in response to that, we did thorough due diligence on this firm. They are a well-known design firm in this space. Our selection committee, when it met, had a series of questions that we were interested in getting the answers to that we thought had the most bearing on our project. So we ranked our choices. When we had narrowed it, you know, frankly, to the top two, including DLR, we did follow up with references, including at least one charter school, several other school districts. So I think we did a really thorough job, due diligence job of making sure that DLR Group was, you know, obviously reputable, which they are, and secondly, were well equipped to handle this project in a efficient manner and help us really deliver the type of facility that our scholars, our staff, our teachers are, you know, entitled to, and really just produce a magnificent facility for Magnolia that we can all be proud of. So to summarize, we did thorough due diligence. We checked references. And I think the selection committee, the facilities department, MSA 5, I think we are all very happy with the selection.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that question. If there are no further questions, I'll just read off the motion again. So the motion is for the board to approve the selection of DLR Group to provide architectural and engineering services for MSA 5's new construction project at 7111 Winneka Avenue in Winneka for a total fee of $1,765,500. And further approve that MPS staff be authorized to negotiate and sign a professional services contract for said services in such form as MPS staff may deem appropriate and in the best interests of MPS. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Mrs. Eldon?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Now we'll be moving on to action item 3C, approval of 2021 through 22 annual audit report for all Magnolia Science Academy schools and the home office. This will be presented by Mr. Budraja, our chief financial officer.
Good evening, everyone, board members, colleagues, and members of the community. I'm Steve Budraja, Chief Financial Officer, Magnolia Public Schools. I'm going to be going over our annual audit report from the previous fiscal year, 21-22, ending June 30th, 2022. If we could please scroll down to the second page. So basically what this is we are required each year by the state to conduct an annual audit for all 10 schools, as well as the home office. And this is done by a select group that is authorized by the state to conduct audits. In this case, our auditors are Ide Bailey, who we have here, and I'll turn over to after I present the summary. And so, just to kind of give you some context, this is auditing all 10 schools and looking through various different documents, our attendance reports, our financial statements, our HR documents, information as it relates to facilities, board minutes, lots of different things are looked at. And it's very comprehensive. It's done over the course of months. And so we had our audit concluded on December 15, 2022. Based on the information presented in our audit, and it's many pages, so I'm going to kind of give you the highlights here. We had a very good, healthy cash position, roughly $29.4 million ending June 30th, 2022, which is about a 28% increase from the prior fiscal year. We maintain a cash position of about 179 days of cash on hand, which allows us to meet our financial obligations as well as our bond covenant requirements. So that's obviously a positive. Based on the report, we served 3708 students, grades TK through 12, organization-wide. We met all of the requirements as it relates to instructional minutes, and that can be found. I put this together as a summary, but the audit report is obviously included in here. But that information can be found pages 32 to 44. We did receive funding from the hold harmless provision, and that actually had passed late after we had adopted our budget, but we were able to capture over $4 million from the hold harmless provision, which was put into the 21-22 fiscal year. So I want to note that. Other areas were that we were able to comply with state requirements, including EPA, which is the Education Protection Act, the LCAP, the Educator Effectiveness Plan, ELOP funding, in-person instruction grant, charter school facilities program, as well as others. And those can all be found near the end of the audit report, pages 70 and 71. Other areas of note is that we had an unmodified opinion, which means that the auditors basically took a look at all of the information that we had asked them. It wasn't limited in any scope in any way. There were no areas of material weakness. We had no state compliance findings, no federal award findings, no internal control findings. All in all, it was a good, clean audit. And I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Mr. Scott Gustafson from Eide Bailey, our audit firm, to add any additional information and context. If we can please go ahead and have Scott.
Yeah. Hi, Steve. Thank you for having me. Sorry, everybody. I'll try to project my voice. I'm trying to get over a few different sicknesses in our household these days, having little kids. No, I won't add anything to that. You summed it up perfectly. You did my job probably better than I could have. So I appreciate that. And I would just say, thanks to everybody for all the help that you give us as the audit team. I know it's a lot of work. It's a lot of requests. It's a lot of time, and it's a lot of back and forth and meetings. And so, we just appreciate on our side working with your group. And it was a great year in terms of being able to get everything accomplished and to not really have any, major issues with the audit. So real thankful for that. And thank you for having me. But I'm happy to, get into depth on any questions anybody does have.
Thank you, Scott. And I'd just like to add thank you to the team at Eide Bailey for being a great partner with us. And thank you to staff within the finance department, my staff, as well as folks from accountability, HR, facilities, and all the other departments that helped with this effort, because, many departments are involved and it's an ongoing process, as Scott mentioned. So I thank everyone for their cooperation, their collaboration for ensuring a good, clean audit. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it back over to Jennifer.
Thank you, Mr. Budrasha. Thank you, Scott. So I'll turn it over if there are any comments or questions from the members of the public. If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yeah, I have a quick question. I think, as I understand, the result of report, audit report is kind of like qualified, unqualified. It's kind of like black or white. What I'm wondering is, like, part of that, is it possible to kind of give some shades of gray to kind of like, hey, yes, you are white, but there are these areas you better pay attention. So right now, yeah, there are no concerns. That's good. But I'm just wondering if there is any second level of detail that can be provided so that we can kind of use that to kind of pay attention and then prevent any potential things that might be going wrong. That's what I was wondering.
Sure, and that's a great question, Dr. Dick. Question. I'll begin to make some responses, and then I'll turn it over to Scott to add any additional context. What I will share is that this is an independent auditor that takes a look at to see whether or not we are complying with different requirements from the state and federal, as well as other entities. In addition to this, we also are audited by our authorizers, including LA Unified, Los Angeles County Office of Ed, the CDE, and San Diego Unified. So we conduct multiple layers of audit, looking at various different things. And I'll say that, and then I'll go ahead and let Scott respond to anything else that I may have missed.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And I think also maybe to add some context there to that question is, you're absolutely right, right? The audit is its scope, and it's somewhat of a larger scope. And so, I think possibly what you're hinting at is, at times do issues arise, or maybe we noticed areas. I would maybe refer to them as like a best practice, right? Hey, we're seeing this, and maybe that's something to consider for your organization. And that definitely does happen throughout the audit process. We might identify something and talk with Steve or talk with Joffer or talk with, a member of your organization and say, hey, have you considered this, right? Or have you thought about that? Or, hey, we're seeing other people doing this. And that's just an ongoing conversation that's always happening with members of management throughout the audit process. If we identify things we think can be helpful to you, that aren't necessarily going to make its way into an audit report because you're not doing anything wrong. There's no non-compliance. There's not a weakness in control, but maybe there's an opportunity for considering, a best practice or something like that. So that does take place, but it doesn't take place within the context of the audit report itself.
I see. I think that's great. As long as there's a separate channel, essentially concerns are shared so that we can take essentially proactive measures. That's great. Thank you very much for the detailed explanation.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dr. Dicklish. Is there any other questions or comments from our board? No further questions or comments. The motion is for the board to approve the 2021 through 22 annual audit report for all Magnolia Science Academy schools and the home office. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll move the motion.
Thank you, Dr. Dicklish. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for seconding. I'll take roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes, Dr. Dicklish?
Yes.
Yes, Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes, Mrs. Aldam?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries. Our last action item would be action item 3D, approval of Magnolia Science Academy 3 surveillance cameras installation, procedures, and design. This will be presented by Mr. Ajar, our Chief Operations Officer.
Good evening, board members and public. This item is in order to have an approval for surveillance cameras for one of our sites at Carson Magnolia Science Academy 3. We used the MSA 2 approval that our board gave, I believe like 2 years ago, as far as I remember. So we used that backbone and then generalized actually Magnolia approval in order to get a design approval for MSA 3 as well. The key take actually in this board report is this is a Prop 39 site. Magnolia Science Academy 3 is a Prop 39 site co-located with another LAUSD site. And then with respect to the LAUSD regulations, we must actually follow their directions. Since it's their site, they give us approval. They actually tell us with which vendor. In some cases, we have to do exactly what they tell us. So in this case, you will see actually exhibits about the design of the cameras for MSA 3. Also, the quote is already ready. We cannot actually question the quote. This is what they told us. Upon the approval, we will actually proceed with this. The budget and then the legal side of it is already approved by our CFO and Mr. Ontiveros. Our site principal, Mr. Osell, is also here for any questions that you may have about this project.
Thank you, Mr. Ajar. Is there any questions or comments from the members of the public? If not, board members, do you have any questions or comments regarding this item?
Yeah, I have a quick question. So is LSUSD, are they just giving one option or are they saying, hey, there are these 2 or 3 companies and then you can pick whichever you like the best?
Unfortunately, they just tell us this is the quote. Mr. Rossell, you're here. You can also chime in. But this is LAUSD. They tell us what to do. We always find much cheaper versions, but they don't approve those.
And like, are we making the payment to LAUSD and then they're paying them? Or
yes, they give us a bill and they do the job through their contractors, or sometimes they do it actually in-house. But we had similar issues actually with other co-located sites. For example, I have to give you an example. MSA 2, for example, there was like a fiber optic issues that we had. So just to send someone, to have someone to check what's going on, which it's their site, I understand, but someone's coming actually is costing us like $7,000-$8,000 just for them to come and see what's going on. That's it. The project itself actually costs sometimes 5-10 times what we can do ourselves. But they are public institutions under the unions, so they have to follow the prevailing wage actually, requirements. So that's why doing it ourselves is always much cheaper than what they tell us. But because of the co-located site requirements, we have to go with what they tell us.
I see. I think I understand, like, if they are trying to kind of improve the quality by doing this, but I think as we're always doing, like, hey, getting multiple quotes, trying to do it, I think they should try to give us that option also. Otherwise, it's kind of becoming, I don't know, in a way, monopoly. They are kind of becoming gatekeeper and then it's kind of becoming something to question. It's unfortunate, but for the, I think, our education, like, we have to keep going and then we can't compromise certain things. It's kind of becoming a very delicate situation where you don't approve the process, but unfortunately, we don't have another other option.
Yes, we have no, honestly, you know, Mr. Monashev, our IT director, Mr. Rossell, the site principal, myself, we met on this, we went over that, and then specifically, actually, we checked if we can do it ourselves. But the rule about property organized sites is even if you're going to nail, actually, something in the wall, you have to get an approval, even a nail. And this, by the way, this is not a joke. This happened to one of our co-located sites. We were trying to put a flyer, actually, and somehow some LAUSD guys were just passing by, and they told us, hey, you need to get an approval for putting that flyer on the wall. Now, this is a major project. And I mean, if you have not been at MSA 3 campus, there are, Mr. Rossell, there's like four buildings that we are spread out because of the Prop 39 rule. It's like they give us rooms in multiple, actually, buildings. And following up all discipline issues and general surveillance issues is kind of impossible with just human eyes. You need to have literally actually cameras over there to make sure we are properly running the discipline issues and all other actually security related issues as well.
Yeah, Dr. Dick, question to Sandra. Yeah, I can testify for the MSA 2 stuff. They've done that with anything that they want to build or use or anything, it has to go through the unfortunate LAUSD because we are on the Prop 39 campus. So like, I don't know if you remember when we approved the water fountains for the MSA 2 students, unfortunately we didn't go through Birmingham, and we had them installed and the kids were using it, and they came and they made us take them off. So everything has to go through them, unfortunately. So that's why we're trying to get our students.
Yeah, that's a great example.
39 campuses.
Ms. Covarrubias was also one of my parents. And after that, Mr. Keskinter, now Mr. Garner, that project was only $3,000. But LAUSD wanted to charge us $25,000 something, or maybe more.
Yeah.
So as you see, it's like 10 times more than what we can do. But as I said, because of union and other requirements, so they have to go through certain vendors, certain actually salaries, certain hourly rates. That's why everything is doubling, tripling, even actually quadruple, 10 times. This project was 10 times actually. So we cannot question that because we're using their facility. And for MSA 3, I mean, if you approve it, we need it. That's honestly, we're putting our need before the money in this case, because we need that surveillance camera at this point.
Yeah, just because of where the areas, like Mr. Swat said, we need coverage on those areas. So, you know, unfortunately, I know the numbers are not something that we would want to do, but we have our hands tied because of LAUSD.
Mr.
Yep. Russell,
are you
Yes, thank you, Swat. This is Zeke Russell, principal at MSA 3. And after the COVID restrictions, we are holding more events at our campus, from community resource events to we are hosting Met Matters on March 26, plus additional, a lot of events are taking place. We need to properly be supervising. In this case, these cameras will be our eyes over there, so that in the case of if something happens, we have evidence, so that it nothing comes against us. It's a little bit large campus compared to other campuses of MSA, and spread out. We are like almost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different buildings, our classrooms. So we need proper surveillance, and so that we can effectively manage our community events. And since some of our, with the community school grant we received, we have this grant and we will have next year also, we will host more events. And for the safety of students, staff, and the community, these cameras will help a lot. So I'm here asking the board to approve these camera installments. As mentioned, Swat, working with LAUSD is, we don't give up the fight, but it is all about ask, implore, go, call, email. This is, and no, with also limited options here. We are not left with many options. Unfortunately, the cost is if we do, it could be cheaper on private sites, but at co-located sites, unfortunately, we are bound to go with LAUSD standards. This is all I'm saying and leaving to board, and I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you, team. Is there any further questions from our board? If there are no further questions, then
I think one thing I would add is, it seems like our hands are tied. I think the only thing I would add is, I don't know if they're offering just one option or multiple options in terms of a camera, like resolution, 480p, 1080p, 720p, etc. Let's kind of, let's not go with the like cheapest option, because if we are employing this, we want to get good resolution, and we want to also have kind of like something sustainable. Like, we don't want something after 2 years, like, oh yeah, it's really old, we need to replace it. So if you're investing in, I don't know, maybe 10%, 20%, whatever the margin is, let's go with something that essentially has longer usage. That's what I would recommend. I'm sure you guys are doing it. Just wanted to remind.
Yeah, this was also another thing, actually, that once installed, those are LAUSD property. I mean, we cannot move them, just to let you know. So we are kind of like giving money for them to let us have some kind of surveillance cameras that will belong them.
Wait, I'm sorry. So I understood that once we, let's say we leave, hopefully soon, we can take those cameras with us.
So it has two things. As far as I know, no, we cannot. But even if we want to, let's say 2 years later, those cameras will be worthless, because the much better cameras will be available. Most probably new, actually, network requirements will need better cameras for the new campus that we will not move those cameras to the new one. We will probably have new ones.
That's
just
true.
As a simple example, look at your iPhones right now in your hand versus the ones that was existing around 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Nobody goes and buys those iPhone 4S's anymore, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
We talked about this, by the way.
Since we're
giving tons of money, we want to get those cameras, but the problem is it's not going to be worth anything. It's just like discard them, honestly. And by the way, these bulk purchases in accounting, normally when we buy something, they are depreciating over time. And this is, as far as I remember, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, $500 or $5,000 was like in asset values, so it depreciates over time. And in 3 years or 5 years, it will not have any monetary value in our accounting system.
Yeah, they do depreciate. That's correct, Suat. Yeah. So I think the value would probably be somewhat limited.
Any other questions?
If not, thank you to our board members and to our staff. So the motion is for the board to approve the proposed Magnolia Science Academy 3 surveillance cameras installation procedures and design. Would a board member like to move the motion?
I'll make the move, Covarrubias.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. Is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Gonzalez, for seconding. I'll take a roll call vote. Ms. Covarrubias?
Yes.
Yes. Dr. Dickbush?
Yes.
Yes. Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Yes. Mrs. Aldo?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you to our board members. The motion carries.
Thank you.
So what I'm understanding is we cannot co-second concurrently multiple people. Thanks.
We have a lot of seconds. I think we need to have like thirds and fourths.
So thank you to our board members. That concludes our action items. So the last item would be our closed session item. Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please read out the closed session item.
Yes, we have one. It's confidential student enrollment matter.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias. So with that, for those that need to attend the closed session room, the room has been open now. For those that are attending the open session, feel free to turn off your mics and your cameras. We're anticipating closed session to be around 20 minutes. And then after that, the board will report out. All right, everyone, thank you so much. We're back in open session. The time is 7:43 p.m. With that, Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please report out.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So the board approved the admission recommendation regarding the confidential student enrollment matter case in number 2022-1208.
Thank you, Ms. Covarrubias, for that. So with that, that concludes all of our items for tonight's meeting. Thank you everyone for your attendance and staying with us here tonight. Ms. Covarrubias, if you may please adjourn, the time is 7:44 p.m.
Thank you guys for being here. I would like to adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night, everybody. Good night, thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you. Bye. Bye-bye.